We're going to turn to Ephesians chapter number 5, and we'll start in verse number 22 again. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. And we're going to be flowing over into chapter 6 as well. I've titled the message today, Raising Godly Children, Where Are Your Priorities? Raising Godly Children, Where's Your Priorities? Ephesians chapter number 5, we're going to look in verse number 22. The Bible says, Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, and even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord of the church. For we are the members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and that the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now in chapter 6, the Bible says, Children, talking to children now, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and them and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So today we're going to be talking about raising godly children, and very important today, this message, especially in the last days that we live. The purpose for this message today is to help us understand the importance of raising our children from infants to young adults in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We are in the last days, and no amount of teaching on this subject from the Bible is too much for our ears to hear. The satanic New World Order agenda is very apparent in our modern pop culture and things like Hollywood, sports, music, and various other mainstream entertainment industries. It's also infiltrated other establishments such as public school, college, and today's online educational platforms. Lastly, but certainly not least, the New World Order agenda, believe it or not, has overtaken our modern churches from the most popular and ecumenical assemblies down to the small so-called independent fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches, changing the way people worship God in a more positive and, quote, seeker-friendly approach. Now, Satan, who the Bible teaches is the prince and power of the air, wants to destroy our children by provoking their interest to walk according to the course of this world. This New World Order agenda cult we see today is the new trendy way of living for our youth and has heavily influenced our families to follow our flesh rather than the Bible. That is, I dare say, the philosophy of this end times agenda. Follow what feels right according to our hearts. That's the New World Order agenda. We may think of the occult as a black-coated dark witch with an all-seeing eye performing her wicked magic trick with a creepy laugh in a dark cave somewhere. May I remind you, however, that the devil does not appear to our children to be the Baphomet goat with horns and a pentagram sitting upon a throne demanding worship. The devil uses his own children to appear as ministers of light to deceive our immature youth. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:13, For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. As Aleister Crowley, who was an English occultist and Freemason magician in the 19th and early 20th century, once said, quote, Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. That's what Aleister Crowley said. And that was his philosophy on life. This was his philosophical basis for his love affair with magic and doing that which was pleasing to his own sight. As evil as he was and as demonic as it seems, sadly, modern churches today have adopted this same ideology, except they call it judge not. This perverse wresting of Scripture in Matthew 7:1 and many other passages are teaching today's young generation that you can be a Christian and still follow your heart and enjoy the lusts of this life. You're just not allowed to judge because, quote, Jesus didn't judge. Today's generation of satanic apostasy is very evident and proves the Bible to be true. The falling away is here and will only grow worse before Jesus returns. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that as he as God sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Many, quote, old-fashioned churches in our era are heavily invested in pushing these, quote, revivals on its congregation. Some saying that they have seen, quote, revival, but looking at their fruit, their revivals are nothing more than charismatic, sensational church meetings full of pulpiteer preachers shouting and putting on a show. People come and go and never change. This charismatic style of church meeting does nothing for the soul except get people hyped up for a time, but eventually leave them starved spiritually. The emphasis is more on driving the emotion and motivational style of preaching rather than teaching sound doctrine and repentance from sin. These churches operate this way in order to fill the pews with people and the offering plate with cash. Being a member of these type of churches for about 20 years, I know full well the dangers our youth face today with a lack of biblical and spirit-led churches. In the last message I preached called Great Generation of Apostasy, It Begins at Home, we talked about the paramount duty our families have to follow the Bible and obey God in keeping order in the home. In that message, we learned that men are to lead and love their wives sacrificially as Christ loves and gave himself for his church. Men are to honor their wives and to provide for them the protection, love, and support they need. We learn also how wives are to submit and obey their husbands as the weaker vessel, giving honor to the wife. Giving honor unto the husband, So wives are supposed to be honoring their husbands in the home. They're called to help their husbands and to bear and raise children. The Bible has guidelines to reteach us how to have families of righteousness in these dark days. When we forsake these guidelines from the Scriptures, we are handing ourselves over to the will of the devil and will fall victim to the evils of this world. Today, we must deal with the very important issue of raising godly children, as the Bible has laid out instructions on how to help our children grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Bible speaks directly to them, but to us as adults, and how to raise them as well. Now, the will of God for one man and one woman is to marry, be fruitful, and multiply by having offspring. As an introduction to this message, we find this in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. The Bible says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." Verse 28 says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply," there's the commandment, "and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over all the flesh of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." The purpose and plan for all married couples, limited only to one male and one female, is to bear children to fill the earth. This is not to say that husbands and wives who try but can't conceive are not in the will of God, as there are a number of examples of people like Hannah and Sarah who were barren for much of their life. But since the beginning, it was and has always been a blessed duty to have children. I personally thought my life was great when I had no children, until I became a father, then my life got even greater. I do not understand the mentality that kids are a, quote, burden these days. I personally never agreed with that mentality. This millennial mindset that kids are problematic and a burden is not from God. When young people get married and finally conceive, they act like they are so shocked and disbelief these days. I can't believe I'm pregnant. How did that happen? Many young married couples today make vows that they are going to wait until years later to try to have kids. Or some say not at all by introducing contraceptive pills and other products to keep them from conceiving. This is a direct violation to God's word, I do believe. The Bible teaches that being barren is a curse. Deuteronomy 7:14, the Bible says, "Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle." God promised Israel that they would be blessed if they obeyed Him and followed His word. And that blessing included having children. There would not be any barren male or female among them. King Saul's daughter, Michal, mocked David when he was worshiping God, and therefore her judgment was to have no child until the date of her death. Some even go as far as to say, as to conceive and become an agent of the genocide movement against their own babies by way of abortion, or decide once they have children to give them up to adoption or foster care, or outright abandon them altogether. I had an image of a what's called a drop-off box for babies. I was going to show you, and I forgot it at home, but it's basically a drop-off box that several states have implemented. One is Indiana, another one is Arizona, another one Ohio, and another one in Arkansas. They're literal drop boxes where if a mother does not want the baby, she takes it to the side of this building where the drop box is, places the baby in, shuts it, and walks away. There's one in Ocala. Okay, so there's some here. Yes, I have a photo of that, and I'll show you that later, Pastor. Wow. This is the pandemic that we are truly in. Wow. And once they go into the drop box, foster care takes over. A number of states, including but not limited to Indiana, Arizona, Ohio, and Arkansas, and obviously now here in Florida, have installed these safe haven baby boxes. You can probably look that up. Safe haven baby boxes, because the demand for them is so radical. These boxes have been designed and put into place because countless infants and toddlers have been reported being found in the streets or thrown in the dumpster in a back alley left to die. Jesus prophesied of these things in the last days. The Bible says in Matthew 24:12, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Today, many newlyweds are not interested in long-term and fruitful marriages because they get married for the wrong reasons and have poor understanding of what the will of God is for them and their lifelong spouse. The majority of couples in 2024 who are getting married are already living together and fornicating beforehand. These same relationships start off wrong and end up wrong, all the way to divorce. Over 50% of today's marriages end in divorce because they do not know the purpose of marriage is to please God and live for Him by raising a godly heritage together. The Bible says that children are a reward and not a curse. Psalm 127 verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." The Bible says that God makes barren women to have joy when He blesses them with children. The Bible says in Psalm 113 verse 9, "He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord." The Bible says God's blessing is upon them who obey Him. And with that obedience comes the fruit of the womb. The Bible says, Deuteronomy 7:12, "Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb." See there, the result of blessing and being faithful to God. "And the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thine oil and thine increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep and in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee." The Bible teaches that children are assets to a family and not a liability. Psalm 127 verse 4, the Bible says, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man," not sad, "happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Now notice verse 5 says that they shall not be ashamed, referring to the children who will rise up and defend and support their parents when adversity or adversaries arise, that they are properly taught and raised. Now let's first begin with a few practical points that I want all of our church to apply to our hearts. Raising a godly generation begins in the home. And here are some principles concerning our priorities. I want to deal with the priorities first. I don't have a lot of time to deal with a lot of the things I wanted to talk about today, but here goes the first part. The number one thing I want us to talk about today is priorities in the home when raising our kids. The biggest hindrance to raising godly children is a matter of where our priorities are as parents. Your child does not grow up to be a rebellious and disobedient fool by mistake. If there's one thing you get from this message and nothing else, please understand this very crucial element of raising children, and that is this. Your priorities as a parent will become the priorities of your children. You lead by your example, not by your words. Don't expect your kids to care about what you say if what you say is not the way you behave. Children see hypocrisy way better than they see most other characteristics. Now, how do I know that? Because I was once a child. Too many parents' priorities are in the wrong place today, yet they think preaching to their children to do that which they don't do themselves is going to help them in some way, when it only exposes their hypocrisy to their children. Some examples of wrong priorities are listed here. I'm going to talk about those. One of the priorities that we need to have in line today is, one priority issue that we have today is a lack of Bible devotion in the home with the family. Do we take God's Word and read it daily seriously? Are there things that take preeminence in our homes that leave off devotion with our children? Leaving it up to Brother Sam and Jay to teach our families while neglecting the duty to lead and instruct our own children at home is not God's calling for us as fathers and mothers. I have not perfected this in my own life, but it's important that we see God's Word on the matter. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Now Abraham was honored by God because God knew he'd command his children to follow God at home. Now remember, the local assembly was not yet established at this time. He had to do it in his own home with Sarah and Isaac. The Bible says in Genesis 18:19, "For I know him," God says, "that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." I want God to say that about me. God blessed Abraham because he commanded his children to walk with God. This time of devotion must be on schedule each day, talking to your parents today, in some fashion, corporately as a family, and also privately. Bible reading time with the Lord must be a priority, or else can we expect our sons and daughters to care about the Bible as they grow? Another issue of priorities in the home is a lackluster prayer life with our children. It's not only important to have a decent prayer life privately, but it's important that we include our children in those times of prayer as well, as a family. Is it only happening before we eat? Or does it happen more often? Talking about prayer. Praying with our children encourages them to, and teaches them to pray as well. The Bible says, James 5:16, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Don't you think it avails much that your kids see you pray? Our prayer life with our children avails to affect our children's conscience. When we pray and our children hear us, they can develop their own prayer life and how to pray to the Lord when they see our example. When we neglect this area of our life to be examples to them, they will not see the importance of prayer when dire circumstances in their life arise, especially when it comes time to be saved from their sin. When we don't prioritize prayer as the first protocol to life's problems, we hinder the outcomes we could have seen for our kids if we'd have prayed for them, and if we'd implemented prayer as well. We are rejecting God's power and protection upon them when we forsake prayer. Life gets in the way at times, but we must make time for prayer with our families. Another priority issue that we can talk about today is perhaps listening too much to podcasts and radio more than listening to hymns, sermons, and spiritual songs. What do we fill our hearts and minds with on a daily basis? Are we heavily invested into political dialogue or social media content rather than filling our minds with praises and spiritual songs to help us and our children glorify God? James 5:16, the Bible says, "Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The Bible says, Ephesians 5:18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, I know that it's talking about alcohol there, but you can also be drunk with the affairs of this life as well, rather than godly, spiritual, holy, sanctified walking with the Lord. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." You know, I found that what I put out and what I do in my life affects my son. I realize that there's things that I get involved with that he sees and he begins to follow me. And so it's very important that me as a father, that I fill my life with songs and hymns and spiritual songs, talking about God's creation on a daily basis with him while he's near. When I rise up, when I walk in the way, when I lie down at night, giving praise and glory to God, keeping it in our home. Another priority issue that we can talk about today is perhaps some of us are seeking success in the corporate ladder above seeking first the kingdom of God. Men must be the provider for the family and women are to guide the house. Both are to be industrious to create a prosperous household, but the main focus must be on using those endeavors as tools to seek first the kingdom of God. Serving the Lord and pleasing Him leads to prosperity, not the other way around. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8:18, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." God gives us power to get wealth, and we don't get wealth to be closer to God. Okay? When we have this backwards, we are setting a bad example to our children, showing them that it's more important to make money and earn a living than it is to serve God in His kingdom. If our jobs are getting in the way of being faithful to the house of God, or being faithful to reading God's Word, or going soul winning on the weekends, then we need to think about those priorities. And not only do we need to think about those priorities to serve God personally, but we need to think about the example we're setting for our children. That's why I like it when I see young boys want to go out and pass out tracts and talk to people about the Lord with their fathers. That's a blessing. Amen. I appreciate Brother Jade in that area. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." I find sometimes that I'm trying to fill my time with learning how to run a business, and that can and has in past gotten in the way of me studying God's Word and doing the things of the kingdom of God. And so we must be careful about those things, that we set the right tone for our families as husbands. Why do we move far away for a job, a career, a promotion, or something that will help our children achieve higher success in this world, but we wouldn't do the same for the Lord's work and for His church? I mean, Jesus died for the church, so it goes to show where His investment is. Christ invested His blood into the church. We have the easiest era these days to obey God with our American conveniences like cars, air conditioning units, heat, abundance of food everywhere you go, and little to no persecution or threats by government to imprison us. But we make excuses that we can't do things for God, or we don't have time because we have to work all the time. Leading that type of life will also be followed by our children. Mark it down. We can't spend time with our children investing into them because we have a career to follow. Priorities. Another priority issue that we can talk about, this one might be a little sensitive. sending our kids, especially young girls, to public school and college to get degrees, more than their spiritual education and development at home. Teaching our young ladies to be keepers at home, teaching our young men before they're able to handle the world, to teach them and to mature them at home. God designed the home for education and development, and the church as well. Not public organizations established by government or corporations. Amen. Let me spell this out so there's no confusion here where God stands with this issue. If you and your spouse are sending your kids to public school, you are disobeying God. But I've heard this. We can't afford for my wife to stay home. It's nothing more than an excuse to not trust God. This was a similar excuse the Israelites had for not going into Canaan to fight the giant Anakims in the land of Canaan. Because that generation did not believe God, the Lord made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years for their lack of faith in God's promise. In case you're wondering, we walk by faith, not by sight. God has given you the commandment to raise your kids under your own roof. If He commanded it, He also makes it possible to do. If you are sending your sons and daughters to college to fend for themselves outside your protection and care at home, you are disobeying God. The only time we find children leaving the home the right way in the Bible is for marriage, according to Genesis 2:24. This, of course, means there must be maturity in both the man and woman in this case. And I'd say that permitting your children to leave your home, expecting them to make good decisions without you, between teens and 20s, that age, I don't believe is wise. Now, how do I know that? How do I know that it's not wise to send your young daughters and young sons off to college? Because I was that age once as well. I was in my early 20s once. And I know what goes on at college. Did you know that colleges have mixed genders? Just wanted to let you know that. Your daughter or son, or even both, is in a classroom or dorm with students of the opposite sex in close proximity to them every week without your protection. Does that need more explanation? I don't believe so. Not just this risk, but also the worldly influence from most colleges today that are very liberal in their education and that are opposed to biblical Christianity that your kids are exposed to. Now, priority issue number 7 here. I'm going along quickly here. Another issue that we can talk about is forsaking the biblical assembly with your kids. Very important. Now, forsaking the assembly. Some apply this to all local churches. Some people don't want to go to any church because there's not a single church in the world that exists that's true and right with God. That's the mentality of some people. Some apply this to all local church assemblies as they don't believe there is such a thing today, contrary to what the Bible teaches, as a true New Testament local church. If there is no such thing as a local church today in existence that is of God, Jesus Christ is a liar and a false teacher. That's right. Because He said in Matthew 16:16, and Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Right. The institution of the local church has been established and in operation somewhere in the world since Jesus began His earthly ministry. Amen. Some say, quote, "I don't go to church because I'll get hurt by the pastor." Or, quote, "There are hypocrites at church, therefore I don't go." These same people don't ever say things like, quote, "I don't go to the grocery store because there are a bunch of fat people there." Or, quote, "I'm not ever driving my car because I might get hurt in a wreck." You never hear that from those type of people. There's a difference between abstaining from joining an assembly because of core false doctrines versus abstaining from joining an assembly because of disagreements that don't affect core doctrines or your family's growth in the Lord. There's a big difference. And I'm afraid that there's a lot of people that have confused these two. Need I remind you, men, fathers, husbands, you are the ruler and leader of your home. If your children live under your roof, you are responsible for them and their spiritual development. The worldly notion that our kids can decide for themselves where to go to church or what spiritual advisor to listen to while they're under our roof and living under our authority is absolute garbage. It is your duty, fathers, husbands, men, and responsibility to teach your children doctrine and the way of salvation. Too many fathers compromise truth and obedience to God's will so that they can somehow save their kids. And all this does is show them that you aren't committed to truth in being in a biblical church. When we prioritize our children more than God's commandments and will, we are committing idolatry. You can wrap it up in a box with a bow tie and glitter all you want to justify what you think works for you and your family, but it will be a guaranteed failure in the end. The most loving thing you can do to help your kids follow the Lord is to warn them of false doctrine, false prophets, and false churches, and abstain from joining them. Leviticus 19:17, thou shalt not hate thy brother. Now, this is talking about brethren, but it applies also to your own kin. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be sanctified. We will be most effective to our families and our children when we show our sanctification to them and not our compromise with them. Teach your children the priority of being in a scriptural church and respect its authority. God has ordained pastors to teach and to preach to his people. Too many pastors out there are seeking to be overlords and receive praise. But when you find a good pastor, one that is biblical, like we have here in Assembly, who doesn't seek the praise of men but rather God, it's important that you prioritize this church assembly on behalf of your children's sake. So I'm going to stop right there because I have a lot more to talk about, but I don't want to overload you. But it's very important that we prioritize raising our children in our home the right way, God's way, from the Bible.